Well, obviously, the first priority is that the gentleman's found. I live very, very close to the prison. We could hear the helicopters flying around trying to find him. The police are working incredibly hard and we're working with them. But I think the big question that everybody wants answered is, how was this allowed to happen? And interestingly, I actually found out many months ago that there was an ongoing issue of staffing levels, as well as that the prisoners were without water for 6 days. Now, there was one shift, Kay, last December, where on a night shift, there were only 7 staff members to look after 1,500 prison inmates. So what they had to do in order to make up the numbers was to actually ask people to stay and do a double shift to make up the shortfall.
I did put that to the minister. She said that they've increased frontline officers by 20%.
Well, I actually put this information to the Justice Secretary at the time, and no answers have been forthcoming. But ultimately, where you have a prison service that is woefully understaffed, under-resourced, when you have crumbling buildings, when you have people not able to stay in sanitary conditions, and you have staff off with their mental health, staff off with exhaustion, you are going to be more open to incidents like this occurring. You know, Kay, actually, we had an escape from Wandsworth Prison many, many decades ago. We had Ronnie Biggs.
Great train robbery.
Exactly, the great train robber. And this is like something out of a bad comedy movie. This shouldn't be happening. And all the jokes aside about how it happened and, you know, the fact that it sounds like a bad movie scene, there are people out there today in our communities who are really, really scared about what this means for them. Because if one person could do it, surely others can as well.
Was he in the wrong category prison? He was on remand for terror offences.
There's been lots of discussion about that. I don't know the details. I don't know how decisions were made and how he was allocated there. But I do know that Wandsworth is the 4th most overcrowded prison in the country, and it is a prison that nobody should be able to escape from. So I think regardless of where he was meant to be, nobody should be able to escape from Wandsworth Prison or any other prison.
But if somebody's allegedly spying for Iran and or allegedly making fake bombs and putting them outside government buildings, barracks, is a Category B prison, while that is being investigated, the right place for him?
Again, I don't know the details of
how... No, but
you
must have a view.
Well, I know Wandsworth Prison.
It's your constituency.
Yeah, I mean, I know Wandsworth Prison. It has many, many people who are never going to see the light of day again in there, and nobody should be able to escape from there. But what concerns me is that this doesn't happen again. And when you have a prison service that has been so under-resourced and so understaffed, like so many of our other public services, I mean, we have schools falling down, we now have, you know, a crumbling prison building such that people can't access clean water for 6 days. We're having an NHS on its knees. This is just a wider narrative of crumbling public services. And this has happened on the Tory government's watch.
Yeah, I'm going to be putting some of that to the Shadow Home Secretary in the next few minutes or so. I'm sure she'll have some views on that as well. But, I mean, you talked about the water there. I just wanted to pick you up on that. I mean, what happened?
The infrastructure there is so incredibly old and the buildings are really suffering, and it was absolutely shocking to discover that for 6 days there was no fresh running water for the inmates. And I raise this as a concern with the Justice Secretary, just as I did the understaffing of Wandsworth Prison. So it does sort of beg a belief that the minister today is just sort of trying to sort of wash her hands of this. This is an endemic issue that hasn't happened
overnight. She wouldn't have been able to, would she, because there was no water?
She wouldn't if there's no water, exactly.
So what's your understanding as the local MP as to what actually happened yesterday?
Well, obviously, I'm part of the discussions with the police. There are things that I'm not allowed to share, but as many people would have heard, it was understood that he was working in the kitchen and he was able to escape by getting underneath a truck and leaving the premises, which is really, if you picture that in your mind, utterly, utterly scary. And I know that for us that live, you know, very locally and we're hearing the helicopters and knew that somebody was on the run, you know, like, the community were understandably worried, but I don't think it's even just about the local community anymore. It's about the fact that there is someone out there who has been... Well, he is on remand for some very, very serious things, and And he's now on the loose. And so it's really important that the priority is that he's found.
Do you not acknowledge, though, that the governor also has a case to answer here?
I think many, many people in this whole process are going to have to properly investigate what happened and have some very serious questions to answer. But my understanding from when I met with the governor is that the staffing issues are long-standing, ongoing issues. It's very, very difficult to recruit and retain staff because their terms and conditions have become so difficult. Many, many staff are off with their mental health because they're struggling with having to work double shifts to make up the shortfall. And now, you know, when I think about the staff for whom this happened on their watch, it's going to take a significant toll on them and it's going to be very difficult for them to come into work. So there are many, many things at play here, Kay.
Okay.